Our scripture reading will be Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verses 28 through 32. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Give heed to the word of God. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. As far as the reading of God's word. As we come together to prepare ourselves as a congregation for the Lord's Supper, let us reflect on what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. As we consider the text before us, let us reflect on what the Lord has saved us from, what He has saved you from, what He is, the bondage of sin that He has delivered you from. And let us see the great mercy that Christ has showered us on, saving us from a life of sin and bondage to wickedness. As we know, a corrupt tree cannot bear good fruit. Only that which is corrupt. And we were such a tree. You and I can never change the pigment of our skin. Likewise, you and I were in such a state of sin that we ourselves cannot escape from that state, that condition. And as Christians, there was a time that our minds were reprobate. Reprobate, meaning our minds were so given over to our hatred towards God that we could not even consider loving Him. You see, brothers and sisters, this text is our biography. We were like this once. And those who do not believe in Jesus Christ, this is what they are like even now. And some are given over to specific sins that they crave more than others. Not everyone is a homosexual. But some are given over, for example, to lying habitually. And Christian brothers and sisters, have you sought to purge yourself from these sins? Have you sought to mortify your flesh from the remaining sins that still beset us? The sins that are listed here. Which one of those that I just read off from the Word of God tugs at you, attracts you? Have you examined your heart this past week to see if any of these sins continue to have your protection? Where you relish in committing them against Christ? In your heart, do you protect the sin of being proud and boastful? Do you harbor sexual sins in your mind? Are you held captive to pornography? Do you have homosexual lusts, if just in your heart? These are just a few examples of evil lusts that you and I need to purge ourselves from if these are struggles of yours. Maybe it's another that I read off. Have you sought to purge yourself from these sins? Is your heart filled with envy because you are not like someone you perceive to be better than you? Or to not have what others have? Is it something you see in someone else that they have that you wish you had? And so you struggle with envy. Do you lack mercy towards others? Brothers and sisters, have you examined your heart in this way this week as you prepare yourself for the supper? Have you taken notice of the original corruption that Christ has saved you from? As Paul said, I still war against the flesh. Which of these sins have you been habitually committing against your God? Notice that the sins in verses 28 through 31 are all second table sins, meaning these are those sins that the commandments 5 through 10 condemn or tell us not to do. These are sins against ourselves and against our fellow man. Dishonor to parents, or being tyrannical parents towards our children. Having murder and hate in our hearts. Adultery and sexual sins. Stealing, lying, covenant breaking, coveting. Have you realized the depths of depravity that all of us were in before Jesus Christ? And if you're not in Christ, have you noticed the depth of sin that you currently are in? And do you not see the wickedness that you live by, which God condemns, as we have read in Romans 1? We were corrupt in our minds. Our minds were dark with perversity. This is what Christ has saved you from. That bondage that you were under. And any and all good and charitable works that we did to our fellow man, as non-Christians or as non-believers, was marred with sin. Because they were centered on ourselves. We sought to bring glory to our persons by the good we did. We had a Messiah complex. All the good we do outside of Christ, while many times it ends up being a good thing to another man, another person, were repugnant to God Himself. We read this in Isaiah. Why? Because any good outside of Christ is unacceptable to God. Seeking to earn eternal life on our own merits are met with great aversion and disdain by God the Father. For you see, to seek to circumvent the Son of God to gain merit from the Father is a great wickedness and is the ultimate folly of man. Yet we see the human race running headlong into such a destructive course of action. And mankind demonstrates their hatred to the one true God when they live in such active rebellion. I can get to heaven on my own merits. I don't need Jesus. After all, there are many ways to God, is what the world says. And the Father does not find that acceptable. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Hear the word of God. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thus far, God's word. The works of the flesh. Our sinful nature is here cataloged and is not an exhaustive list. If you look at what I just read in Galatians with what I read in Romans, the list just expands. There's a little bit of overlap, but the list expands. And you see, mankind is full of pollution. Man is not born basically good. Man is born corrupt. Man is not born in innocence. Man is born in guilt. And truly, there is not one human besides our Lord Jesus Christ who ever was good by nature. We are born corrupt. Our nature is corrupt. Sexual sins of all sorts, for example, are commonplace among humanity. The perversity is elevated when professing Christians engage in these sins as a form of habit and even seek to defend them. And we see this when you hear church leaders, even in conservative churches, defending same-sex attraction. And we are to mark those out as proclaiming the words of Satan and not the words of God. You see, same-sex attraction is evil. And we are to mark such men out as apostles of darkness and clergy of lasciviousness. And have nothing to do with them, because they're following the example of Judas, the traitor. When Christians seek to defend horoscopes, divination, zodiac signs, mark all of that as artistry of Satan. And we are to rebuke so-called Christians that play with this stuff and warn them that they have been seduced by Beelzebub, of having committed spiritual intercourse with the demonic. For the Apostle Paul tells us witchcraft, which all of this is something that God hates and that no Christian should be touching. So examine yourselves. Do you play with this? Because if you do, the Lord has controversy with you. There are people that need to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. These are people who need to look to Christ alone for salvation. For such cannot be saved on their own when they indulge in these sins, because they are now serving two masters, their flesh and supposedly Christ. And this is why they need Christ alone. For while they spew this venom, they are not saved. This is why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1:21 that they that do such things, or in Galatians verse 21, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not. And we cannot water down the grievous state of sin. There is nothing about it that can be tasteful or civilized. God hates sin and has declared with no uncertain terms that such that live in sin will never inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I say this, living in sin as a habit, day in, day out, without repentance. This characterizes your way of life. Now, up to this point, we have only spoken about the second table of the law, sins against ourselves and against our fellow man. Christian, what about the first four commandments? What is your condition before God? Is your pride such that you place your needs before your duty towards God? Are you so self-centered that God's law and ordinances rank below your priorities? Then you have become more like Satan in that you seek to exalt yourself above God. You are and you have become your own idol. Do you profane God and His name with such expressions as, quote, OMG? And of misapplying His providences and breaking covenants, which are violations of the third commandment. Using God's name in conjunction with cuss words. Or using His name in a flippant manner. These are expressions of our lack of fear, honor, and respect towards God. And betrays a sort of atheism. In that we act as if God were a fantasy, whose name is not holy, and as if He cares not how we use our speech in conjunction with His name and His attributes. Brothers and sisters, we should be shaking that if this is how we live unrepentantly, the Lord has controversy with us. Do you remember the Lord's Day, to keep the entire day holy, to refrain from all commerce, worldly entertainment, and seeking your own pleasure? Or do you patronize businesses for your pleasure and convenience under various pretenses, such as quote-unquote fellowship, or, well, I have a time constraint, so I need to do this? Brothers and sisters, it's the Lord's Day, not the Lord's hour and a half, or if you feel generous, 2 hours. The entire day is to be kept as a holy day unto your Lord. Going to restaurants or watching games is a wicked and sinful activity that God condemns. As we saw in Nehemiah chapter 13 when I preached a 3-part series from there. God was very clear in the book of Nehemiah that such desecration is not just sinful but wicked. And if you've been taught that the fourth commandment is abrogated or that going to a restaurant or watching football with the church, it's together with the church is okay and not sinful, then I have to warn you, brothers and sisters, you have been deceived. It is a plain deception to believe that the Lord's Day is not to be kept holy. Even our Reformed forefathers taught this. They even taught that the civil magistrate has an obligation to punish those that desecrate the Sabbath in this way. The author of the Heidelberg Catechism taught that. Even if the ones who have taught you are no doubt godly ministers, in this they have sinned. The church has sinned. And we need to repent. We need to repent as individuals, as a congregation, as a church. We need to seek corporate repentance. As we read in Isaiah, and God had a controversy with Jerusalem and with Judah, because they all ran against God's law, defiling His Sabbath and taking His name in vain. We saw this in the book of Nehemiah. Examine yourselves, brothers and sisters. Do you live in active sin against the first table of the law? This too then we are to repent of and from. Turning to Christ for pardon, asking for His Holy Spirit to sanctify us further and to grant us the grace to put to death these desires of the flesh. We are to have no patience with sin. None. Jesus Christ stated that if you love Him, you will keep His commandments. This is our duty. Not in the sense of being forced to perform a duty, but in the sense of finding fulfillment of purpose in Christ. When Marines or police officers or firefighters perform their duty and save lives, do they see this performance of duty as a burden? You'll find that they do not. Rather, it's a sense of honor that drives them. It's like, well, that is what we as humans are to do. Save lives. It's my duty as a human to preserve life. It's not a burden. And just so, in the same way, we as Christians are to serve Christ in performing our duty to Him and for Him out of the same sense of honor, but even more so, out of love to Him. Let us recall that we serve a holy God. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 says this, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look upon iniquity." He is a pure and holy God. He cannot allow iniquity to stand before His eyes. And we have just reviewed some of the sins that He cannot look upon with any favor, but with great hatred. Why then would we who are called by His name seek to live in them and even enjoy them? Romans 1:32 says that mankind is so wretched that not only does mankind live in such pleasure of sin, but even approves, applauds, and promotes these sins in the lives of others. Look at our country, for example. We have passed laws to even protect the public and active display and performance of these sins. And at the same time, in passing these laws, we punish those that will resist these sins. And we see it happening before our very eyes. If a Christian speaks out against homosexuality, what will happen to him? Look at what's going on in Texas right now. Abortion is murder. And we have all these people running around trying to preserve the sin of murder. And they applaud those that do so. We have seen how God looks upon the sins of man. Now look to Jesus Christ. He went to the cross to pay the penalty that these sins deserve, namely the wrath of a holy God being poured out against sin. Brothers and sisters, congregation, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. All of your wretched and shameless works of sin and despicable pleasure, Jesus Christ took it upon himself on the cross. Do you see that? Do you recognize that? Christian, why would you desire to return to that bondage from which Jesus Christ has saved you from? See then, your salvation. Jesus Christ, He is your salvation. He is your Redeemer who sets you free from the house of bondage. Resist the world that seeks to reassure you that such sinful lifestyles are not that bad and that God will overlook them because, hey, He is good. But God expresses His goodness, His mercy, and His grace only in, and I say this again, only in and through Jesus Christ. That is how God is good, in Jesus Christ. If you seek His mercy and goodness, you will only find such in Jesus Christ. Not in anyone else, but in Christ. As you prepare yourself for the supper then, confess your sins to Christ. Go to your high priest and seek pardon. Pray that the Holy Spirit will renew your mind and purify you of your sins. Granted, on this side of eternity, we as Christians will continue to sin. We will never reach sinlessness while we live this life. Nevertheless, we cannot allow that to be an excuse to live in sin. We are to put to death our sin on a daily basis, mortifying our flesh, and to seek peace with God in Christ every day. We must kill sin in ourselves, or sin will kill us, as a Puritan once said. Brothers and sisters, examine yourselves then. Look at these scripture verses that we have considered. Which sin are you harboring right now in your heart, committing secretly, that no man can see? God sees them. Confess that sin to the Lord. Seek to put it to death. Cry out to the Lord to grant you the grace of the Spirit to put it to death. Seek Christ. Seek Christ. Seek Him to be your only master, the only one that you serve. And so remember, when you take the bread and drink the wine, that the bread and the wine symbolize Christ going to the cross to become sin, and in receiving the wrath of God as your substitution. The sacrifice He has done once and for all on the cross. It's done, never to be repeated. And He did it on your behalf so that you can escape the punishment that you and I so richly deserve. So look to Christ. Congregation, look to Christ. See Him as the one who has bought you and redeemed you from certain death. And rejoice in so great a salvation that we do not deserve. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ and love Him for being our reconciler to Holy God. Praise be to God for Christ. Let us stand as we pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before Thee in Christ to give You thanks for what Christ has done for us. As we reflect back from what He has saved us from, so Lord, even now, as the light of Your Word shines in our hearts and our minds, cause each one of us to see the leaven in our hearts even now. And may Your Spirit purge it from our hearts, purge it from our being. For we are the temple of God where the Spirit dwells. So purge the leaven from our temple, Lord, that we may come before Thee cleansed by the blood of Christ as we approach Your table on the Lord's Day. May Your Spirit even now work a good work of sanctification in each one of us. This we pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.